Nathan Buckley, hello.
G'day, Jared. Well, I've got a couple here. Jared, that's the greatest speech I've ever heard. Brought tears to my eyes on my morning walk. Jared, I have to stop listening for a minute. I have a wall to walk through.
Yes.
Go, Ange. Now, you've got a choice. So you just played two bits of audio. One was him, the heart of him, sharing a part of himself about his old man, and then trying to conjure those emotions that he feels about his dad and the belief that his dad had in him, even though he was hard, in his players or his people to rise above and to realise that they're playing for more than just themselves. Then you've got a second edit, which is an opinion. And there's always going to be people that are going to be naysayers. There's always going to be people that are going to say why something can't be done or why something's going to be a bit hard or why that's not the right decision. And you know what? They're right in some ways, because the league in Scotland is exactly the way that they described it. And it is one of two teams. And he was able to be the better of those two teams amongst the rest of the league for his 2 years. So you can say, but he's going on to greater things and to greater challenges. But I'd prefer to buy into the positive. And if you sell that through your own experiences and through your own energy and connection as a coach, or as a leader, or as a manager, you're going to get the best out of your people.
Lunch never stood a chance, did it?
No.
That was so great. That was the pre-lunch speech.
How do you reckon the convo over lunch is? Well, when do you want to waste your good stuff sometimes 5 minutes before you go out to play? That's gone. It's gone in 30 seconds. But the energy isn't. The words count, but the intent underneath it and the feeling underneath it is what sinks in even further. And I've got more questions. I've got questions for you. I don't know Ange's story as well as it seems you do. I've sat on an esky next to him watching a training session at Victory.
Yep.
Way back when. And I thought, this is before I even looked, like I was doing some coaching education through the 2 years that I was out from playing to assistant coaching. And I sat next to him, and my overwhelming thing was, this bloke's doing nothing. He's just sitting on an esky yelling at blokes. but everything around him was already set up for him to have the space to observe and then to insert himself where he needed to. He had another coach that was running the skill session that was taking place, a small field game that was taking place in front of us. And I didn't get a chance to spend a lot of time with him. I was actually through Kevin Muscat, actually, who was running the session underneath Ange. And I just sat next to Ange for a little bit, and he was in it. And he might have said 20 words for 45 minutes. And he just sat there and observed. And in the end, I didn't really get a great sense of his impact on the group because I wasn't in. I didn't get him. I didn't get that talk. I didn't get an insight into what was driving him. But I thought he's managed this really well to be able to give himself space to see what he needs to see and say and feel what he needs to say and feel. And he's been on his journey for a long time, and all credit to him to get to where he wanted to get to. And now the challenge is probably he's not where he wanted to be. He's where he needed to be to get to where he wants to be. And I reckon he wants it all. He wants a championship. Yeah. There's no doubt.
So that philosophy that he's taken through each team that he's been able to build, and you know, he's written a book around it. He's got better at rapidly implementing it.
Yep.
Because the speed with which it achieves success is absolutely essential as you climb your way through the ranks. So he built it through a period of acrimony at Brisbane Roar, and he had to shuttle off some of the older players to be able to do it, win championships. In Japan, he told us about the incredible language barrier that he had to work through.
Can I check a point of fact? Would it have been Victory that I was looking at?
Yes. So he very briefly was the coach of Victory before the Socceroos needed him, when they sacked the coach on the eve of a World Cup.
And I did watch this. I was on the side of a Socceroos session, I reckon, 2 or 3 years later.
Yep.
Yeah. So I have had some touch points with him along the way, but like arm's length.
Yep. So the words, I want to tap into the idea of energy this morning. So the words, his words in Japan had to go through sometimes three different interpreters to hit the group. So he couldn't have long meetings because he had Japanese. He didn't speak English. He had, I reckon he told us he had Brazilians, that yep. Portuguese maybe. That so there were three different layers that he had to work through to get that, but they implemented their system and they won the league. The Celtic thing is so interesting as people go, well, of course he was successful there. No, he went there at a time where they were in the doldrums, and it's the way that he won the hearts and the minds of not only the dressing room and what he brought into the dressing room, but the club, the unity, but the fan base. Is that's a fan base that has lived success all the years of their lives.
I've got no doubt.
They love him like they've never loved.
Would you think that? My gut feel is that the players would sometimes fear the wrath of that army on the negative end. Yep. And potentially that's a Carlton perspective or a Collingwood perspective or a Richmond perspective at times. Would he have been able to turn that around and rather than looking at the negative side of that, to buy into the positive side? Because he's talking about you walking out there. He would walk out, you walk out there with someone who's had a strength of belief
and who's
given you love. And I dare say that he would have spoken about the fan base to his players and said that they are with you as much as they're with me. And that's a powerful motivator, because it can actually be an equally powerful detractor on the other side if you want to look at the downside of it. But it's once again looking at the opportunity that you can tap into with that.
So I think from the moment he arrived, he demonstrated that he knew Celtic, he knew the history. He knew the fan base. He knew what it meant to people. He was able to share that and characterise it. And now when he walks out and he wears a daggy old jumper and he walks out and they greet him like Hulk Hogan in his glory years. He has total control over that crowd. And now Tottenham. So and there's a flood of messages. I'll make sure I service the messages as we go. 0433 98 11 16 40 winks. Temper text, temper a mattress like no other. Some saying it's a poison chalice. I like the Michael Owen view, as he will bring them the football that they want. Evidently, they have had years where they have been at war, at war with players and everyone at war. So he is a unifying figure. Anyway, my starting point with him is, so he'd coached South Melbourne and he'd been tipped out of the underage job in Australia in, you know, huge blaze of controversy. He couldn't get a job in the A-League, so he did experts. I called and he was the expert, and we did a couple of seasons together because we'd go and call games, and I would leave the games going, how have none of these clubs figured out that this is the guy? Sometimes you can just tell who you're sitting with. And then finally Raw figured it out, and away he's gone stepping through the ranks.
Is he abrasive? In a way.
So he is no nonsense.
Yes.
So he's got authority.
Does he want absolute control?
Yes.
Because that's the sense that I got.
To put his program in. Yes. It's a philosophy, it's a dogma, it's a religion.
Is that not the way of the gaffers over in the EPL anyway?
I think it has to be.
Yeah. And they recruit as much as they coach.
Yes, and they recruit specifically for
their game plan.
Mm. And that's what he's done in Japan, and that's what he did in Scotland. I heard a story in the – and this is sort of – so he's got the connection, but he's also got the authority. So I heard a story out of the Australian camp that the first time you saw him for the day, you had to call him boss, and then you're away. But that a level of respect, the first time you saw him, you had to call him boss. I heard that from three different players, so I'm assuming it's correct. I've never actually run that past.
I've been in a dinner group that's caught up sort of once or twice a year in the last sort of 3 or 4 years, and John Aloisi's been in it through a mate of mine, and he had through his championship year, he had a philosophy that every player and staff member needed to come and shake his hand. That's his version of the boss. And I remember saying to him, what a wank. What are you talking about? What, they have to come find you and shake their hand? That's like, and I said, what, you're not winning because you're shaking hands? He went and won the title. And I thought, oh, well, look, it's in the end, you don't know why or how some of these things are important. But it's if it's to teach a discipline or if it's to teach a philosophy of some sort, and you can't dig deeper into the true connection between a coach and his staff or a coach and his players, and it's more than just the senior coach, but you need to have that authority, one. You need to have that aura, and you need to impose it in some shape or form to be able to get the collective buy-in of the people that you're leading, managing, coaching.
Yep. And he's been a wonderful resource for Australian coaches as well, while he's been particularly in Scotland. So some have told their stories. Alistair Clarkson's been over there a couple of times, and one of the moments of enlightenment for him was he went and he sat through the review, and it was sort of, and Clarkson went, oh, this is me. This is what I'm born to do. This is, I want to be back doing this. And there's others who have sort of been through the inner sanctum that he's got open to Australian coaches who I don't think have told their stories publicly. And he's got little WhatsApp groups that he's part of with some of the coaches back here as well. So yeah, he's a beacon for Australian sport, particularly for coaching.
Well, everyone's buying into him. It's pretty hard not to. He's had success everywhere he's gone. It's been a lengthy journey to get to this point, and we hope that the journey continues even further. But it's a must watch, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because as you said, it's a scheme, a philosophy first and foremost. It's a way of being, then a philosophy on how to build to emanate that way of being, and a personal belief around how to live and how to be and how to view the world and the challenges that you face, into a philosophy, into a football club, into a scheme that he wants to, an attitude that you take onto the field, but then a way of playing. And he's been able to, it seems to me, that he's been able to refine that, test that, and challenge that with different groups of players in different situations along the way. And that is obviously why having those different experiences, being in those different environments and having success in all of them, gives you validation to be able to take that same philosophy and scheme and attitude into a new group of players, into a new club, and just roll it out, because you've made all the mistakes with that same with the same attitude and with that same process and program, and now we get to see it at the top level. So it's exhilarating to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Because you only ever see the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
We don't actually know everything that goes on, everything that he does. We get little insights, but I'm really keen to see how this program rolls out at the top level of this sport in the world.
0433 98 11 16. We'll share your thoughts as we go. 40 Winks Tempur-Tex, Tempur a mattress like no other. And we'll head to London in the next hour to get the latest and to get the feel. What a time to be a Spurs fan, whether they realise it or not. That energy in coaching, the positive and the negative, we're going to work through that with Nathan Buckley for La Trobe Financial, trusted by Australians. I can't tell you the number of messages that are pouring through, so I'll curate those as we go. This one grabs our attention. Morning, gents. AFL Nuffy here. We're talking coaching inspired by Ange Postecoglou. Have always regarded Craig Bellamy as the best Aussie coach till now, although I don't follow the world game. Does Bellamy not coaching at another club detract from his record? And that triggered a memory for you, Bucks, in a Bellamy conversation.
Yeah, well, I wondered whether a Craig Bellamy or Wayne Jackson or
Wayne Bennett.
Wayne Bennett, yep. Sorry. Having more senior moments as I go along. Wayne Bennett or even an Ange Postecoglou, you know, because if you take the scheme part of it out, so you got the personal philosophy and then how you want the club to be run and put together, and that aura that great coaches carry, maybe a game plan or a scheme is, I don't know, 15 or 20% of it. But because if you can capture the hearts and minds of your players, I think you're over halfway there. It's three quarters of the challenge. Would an Ange or a Craig Bellamy or a Wayne Bennett have the capacity to coach an AFL club? And I wouldn't think that it would be absurd to believe that they could, especially with the assistant coach support that you get at an AFL environment. But and I thought that it's a left field thought, but I've got no doubt that when you have the attributes to coach and to win hearts and minds with your personal demeanor and to buy into a purpose, it'll probably be harder from, you know, because it's contextually very different to have someone come from left field here. But I've got no doubt that they would have a fair crack at it. I don't know if we'll ever see it. I don't think we ever will, but it would be interesting.
It would. So Did you go so far as to suggest it on your way out the door at Collingwood?
Yeah, I did. I did. I was spitballing with Roddy about sort of where the club could possibly go, but in the end, it's a risk that very few people would take, and it's an easy to make a suggestion. Very hard to be sitting in the chair and make that decision and then go forward with it. But I mean, obviously, Craig McRae is a person that can win hearts and minds, and is a person who is able to bring a philosophy and a scheme that the players believe in and a way of living that they believe in, and has got them in great shape.
Here's a little collection of texts, the mood for Ange Postecoglou, who is inevitably going to Tottenham Hotspur from here. Come on, you Spurs. You know I'm in my element when Ange is the talk of the town. 20-year journey and what a marvellous journey with still the best to come. Is Ange the best sporting coach externally and internally we've had? Multiple championships everywhere he's gone. I think he is. And this is the icing on top. Asian Cups, World Cups, etc. That's from Lou. What an achievement by Ange. Truly amazing achievement. Monumental. By the way, if you haven't seen the stadium that he'll be coached in, have a look. Simply amazing. Yes, we've been Google Earthing during the ad breaks as we're doing a crash course in Spurs. Benjamin, the boss puts football players back in their place so they don't get ahead of themselves, and so they are playing more pure and as a team, not as an individual. I've not watched the EPL since Fox lost the rights. Once Ange signs, I'm going to get my Optus subscription. I'm in awe of this man. That's Paul from Rockhampton. It would be absolute career suicide for Ange if he went to Spurs. Better off staying at Celtic or any other EPL club. Levy doesn't allow managers to do their job without his own input. That's from Daniel. The love for Ange Postecoglou is personified by Rod Stewart when he recently played in Melbourne. Enormous screen showcasing Ange. So good. That's from Brad. I hope Ange does well. Recent history for managers at Tottenham hasn't ended well, though. I hope it changes with Ange. This is hard to say, coming from an Arsenal supporter. As a dyed-in-the-wool Arsenal supporter, how do I hate Tottenham now? Damn you, Ange. That's from Chris. And on and on they go. 0433 98 11 16 40 Winks Temper Text. Temper a mattress like no other. So let's find out the latest on where this story sits on Monday night in London. Jack Pitbrook covers Tottenham for The Athletic. Jack, welcome to SEN.
Thanks for having me.
How certain is it, Jack, that Ange Postecoglou will be the new manager of Tottenham Hotspurs?
I think it's pretty much 100% certain. It would take a huge disaster for him not to be announced as manager on Tuesday morning UK time, I think. I get the impression that ever since the end of Celtic's Scottish Cup final win on Saturday afternoon, things have moved pretty quickly across Sunday and Monday, and almost everything, I think, has now been agreed.
How has it developed over the past week or so?
So I think Ange was basically competing with Luis Enrique in the week when May became June. They were the last two contenders left in the process. I think Tottenham have run a very, very thorough process. You know, they got rid of Antonio Conte in March, so they spent a lot of time thinking about this. They want to get it absolutely right. They've done a long due diligence stage, multiple rounds of interviews. I think it was basically down to Ange and Luis Enrique. And I know that Luis Enrique has a slightly, probably more glamorous CV, but I think Ange really gives them what they wanted this summer, which is a guy who can come in and really change the ethos and culture around the club, somebody who can really get the players behind him, get the fans behind him, basically do everything that he did at Celtic, which has hugely impressed people at Tottenham. And I think basically a week or so ago, maybe a bit more, they decided that it would have to be Postecoglou. He was the preferred candidate over Luis Enrique, and then they wanted to keep, out of respect to Celtic, they wanted to keep everything quiet until Celtic finished their season, and things have moved pretty quickly since then.
Is Ange an unlikely choice for Tottenham in theory?
Yeah, he is an unlikely choice. You know, two of Tottenham's last three managers who they've appointed, they've been Jose Mourinho in 2019, who obviously came in having been like the most successful and famous manager in European football over the last 20 years. He did really badly, but he came in with a huge reputation. And then 2 years after that, they got Antonio Conte, who again came in with a huge reputation. He'd won the league in England, he'd won the league in Italy. He's won basically everywhere he's been. He had, you know, he came in with as much of a great reputation as Mourinho did, and he did just as badly as Mourinho. So Tottenham have clearly appointed by reputation in the last 2 years. It's got them absolutely nowhere. So in that sense, I think Postecoglou does represent a big change in policy from Tottenham, from the types of managers they've appointed in the past.
What sort of crash courses have been done in Ange's history and what he's achieved?
Well, I think a lot of people, me included, and lots of Spurs fans, have learned a lot in the last week or so. You know, when it first became clear that he had a really good shot at the job, you'd get some fans saying, oh, you know, he's never managed in the Premier League, he's never done anything in the Champions League, he's not even been tested in the other big European leagues like France, Italy, Germany, Spain. But you see more and more people, I think, are learning about him. They're liking what they see. And just if you go on social media, you'll see so many Spurs fans sharing clips of Ange, particularly either from the Australian national team or from Celtic. And you see the way that he talks to players and he motivates them, like in the dressing room and on the training ground. And I think people think this guy is something special, like he's something different. We don't normally see football managers who've got that much of a personal touch and who have that much of a kind of gift and capacity with words. And that really stands out to people because the last few years of Tottenham have been miserable. And even their brilliant, highly paid, formerly successful managers have come in and they haven't really enjoyed it. They haven't engaged with the fans. They haven't motivated the players. They never really looked like they wanted to be in charge of Tottenham. And when you see Ange talk and the way that he connects with people, both in the fans and the players, you recognise that he is a bit different and a bit special.
Do you feel like whatever resistance there was at the start has been largely broken down, or will there be a core who don't have the imagination for this?
It would be wrong for me to say that there are no skeptics left. You know, there certainly are still skeptics. There are people who say that he's not really tested at the highest level in European football, which I don't think is unfair. There are some people who are so implacably opposed to Daniel Levy that whoever Tottenham appointed now, they would oppose the appointment because they say, you know, it's just yet another failed Levy appointment. So there are some people who it will be harder to win over, but I think the kind of majority of mainstream opinion have, I think, been won over in the last week by what the things they have learned about Ange. And I certainly think that the first time Ange opens his mouth as Tottenham manager in his first press conference, which I don't think will be soon, or probably be later in June, I think he will really, really impress people because we know he's such a great talker, and I think he will continue to win Spurs fans around.
How powerful has the example of Celtic been? Big club, hugely successful, demanding, but he seems to have formed a connection, certainly to the Celtic fans, where they might be the most heartbreaking, broken people in sport over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I got a message from a Celtic fan the other day just saying he'd spent Saturday crying his eyes out at a barbecue. I hope I'm allowed to mention that on air. But yeah, clearly Celtic fans are really upset by this. And I do think, you know, Tottenham fans, and particularly the people who run Tottenham, will have really taken their cue from what they saw at Celtic. They will have noticed that when Ange went into Celtic, there were doubts about him. The fans were unhappy. Everyone was a bit dissatisfied by how the last few years had gone, and they weren't. You know, they left a bit of a sour taste with some of the recent managerial changes there. And yet, what he did, which is such a powerful thing in football, was to instill a clear set of ideas which all the players bought into, and then the fans really bought into the football, and then all of a sudden you've got all the disparate parts of the club, you know, the fans, the players, the manager, the boardroom, all pulling in the same direction. As everyone who loves sports knows, that's such a powerful thing. Like, if you have that, then your team is in a really, really good position. And I already feel like Celtic, even in the last day or so, Celtic fans are sad about the fact they're going to lose this. And this is the one thing that Tottenham have really lacked. Like, Tottenham have not had that sense of unity, that sense of alignment over the last few seasons. So if that can come back at Spurs, then I think Spurs will feel really, really vindicated in following the example of what Ange did at Celtic and trying to get him to recreate it at Tottenham.
So we've spoken a lot about Spurs. So Ange is special, Jack, and you'll learn that firsthand. Is Spurs a good choice for him?
Well, I think it's a really hard job at the moment. There's a lot going for it. You know, they've got, I think, the best stadium in the country. I think they've got one of the best training grounds in Europe. there. It's a club that a lot of people do want to work at because it's in London and they're in the Premier League and they've, you know, they're very stable behind the scenes and they've got a bit of money, not as much money as some people. But it's tough because the team's been rubbish for the last few years. They've only qualified for the Champions League one season out of the last four. They're currently trying, you know, all the players' confidence has been destroyed, particularly by last season where Antonio Conte basically went to war with the players, which was terrible for the club. And they've got a really difficult transition away from the older generation of players. You know, we're expecting Hugo Lloris to leave this summer. Eric Dier and Harry Kane have got 1 year left in their contracts. So all those old guys who've been there a long time are going to go. They really have to kind of usher in this new generation of young players, turn them into senior players, give them more responsibility in the team. So it's a really, really tough job. That said, I think because it's so tough, it makes more sense to appoint someone who's a bit different, who's got something a bit special about them, who can convince people to be patient, which is something that Tottenham really, really need. They need a manager who can convince people to be patient. And that's why I think they've taken this. It certainly is a brave decision to go for Ange, but I think it could turn out to be a far-sighted one.
What sort of timeline? How patient would a people in a club be as Ange builds his system?
That's a really good question because Tottenham really, they really, really want to be in the Champions League and they haven't been in the Champions League enough recently. And if Spurs, you know, let's hypothetically, if in the second half of next season Spurs are kind of around fourth or fifth or sixth, then I think people will be fine with that because, you know, a lot can change in the second half of the season. But if Spurs are kind of, if Spurs are having a bad season and they're around, I don't know, eighth, ninth or tenth, then I think, I wonder if people start to get anxious. Personally, I think there's no point in, if you appoint a new manager, you have to give him the backing and time. You have to allow for some teething issues. Like, clearly it's going to be a difficult transition. The style of football is going to be so different from what they're used to. The style of motivation, man management will be very different from what they're used to. They're going to lose really good players. The replacements will take a time to settle. So I don't think anybody could expect Tottenham to be top of the league in September, October, November.
Ange has a dogma about the way his teams play. Is that an exciting prospect for Tottenham?
It's certainly an exciting prospect for the fans. You know, just over 4 years ago, Tottenham opened, like I said, one of the best stadiums in Europe, a stadium they spent £1.2 billion on, a stadium that's just had Beyonce playing there for the last week, earning huge amounts of money for the club. And yet the managers that they've appointed have filled it with almost unwatchable football. Like, the quality of football Tottenham have played in the last few years has been awful. You know, not just first there was Mourinho, then there was Nuno, and then there was Conte. And it's been so far away from what you would expect when you open an arena like this. So I think there's a really, really big desire, particularly from the fans, but also from the club as well, to get Tottenham back to playing exciting, watchable, entertaining football. You know, no one's expecting Ange to come in and win the league, although it'd be great if he did. But I think if it's that, having that kind of, like, wanting, people want to look forward to going to Tottenham games again. And that's something they haven't had for a while.
So just as we finish, Jack, so Ange has been through the local league in Melbourne. He's won the National League in Australia. He's won an Asian Cup, which was such a big moment for our country. He won the J-League in Japan. He wins the Scottish League 2 years running there, and the treble. How big a job is this? When the announcement is made potentially tomorrow, how big is the Spurs job in the scheme of things?
I think a lot of those jobs have been very, very hard in their own way. Like, managing a country is really, really difficult because, you know, you don't have control of, you can't buy and sign, you can't buy players. And there's a huge, you are the kind of public face of the whole country's football. Obviously, Celtic is a hugely hard job. Like, Celtic is a unique club in so many ways. It's got a huge global fan base. So I think he's really, really used to pressure. And I don't doubt that he can hack the pressure at all. If there's one, the one difficult thing is that the Premier League is now absolutely flooded with the best players and the best managers in the world, pretty much. Like, the standard in the Premier League is so high. And I think every single week he'll be coming up against a team which is, he'll be coming up against a manager who's more experienced at this level than him. He'll be coming up against a team who will be full of very, very good players who've been handpicked from across the best other teams in Europe. And I just think if it takes him a little bit too long to learn at the start, then I think that's when it might get a little bit sticky if results struggle at the start. And I think, I really, really hope that if it does take a while for results to show, the fans and the board continue to have loyalty and faith in him, because I'm sure it will be worth it in the end. But I just think it might be a little bit tricky at the start.
You're about to have a huge wave of Australian fans take up Tottenham. Yesterday morning we were hearing from those. A lot of us have an EPL team traditionally, and they're all just wondering whether they abandon what they've had and move with Ange, or whether they add a second team. It's quite a thing for Australian sports fans at the moment, Jack, to grapple with.
Yeah, and fortunately, I think Tottenham are going to Australia on their pre-season tour. I think they've got a game in Perth in July. So clearly, you know, every Premier League club is very interested in building up their brand around the world. I think that's not unique to Tottenham. Tottenham have worked pretty hard on it with quite a lot of success, I think, over the last few years. And what I found, certainly from, say, if you look at the example of the USA, Tottenham have taken on lots and lots of fans in the US over the last 10 years. And I think it's because they're right at that sweet spot between being, they're like a glamorous name with a great history and a tradition of having great players and great managers. But because they haven't won the Premier League since 1961, it feels like a quest, like support. They haven't won a trophy since, I think, the late 2000s. So there's this sense of quest of, like, can we achieve something new that we haven't achieved for a long time? And that makes it more exciting, I think, for new fans. And certainly that's been the case in the US. And I wonder whether lots of Australians might be attracted to that sense of a voyage as well.
We will all be on the voyage with you, Jack. Thanks a lot for your insights today. And enjoy the next 24 hours or so.
Thanks for having me.
Jack Pitbrook, who writes the Tottenham brief for The Athletic. I'm a massive Spurs fan, have been for close to 20 years. On top of that, Ange used to be my landlord. Boy, am I regretting moving house. That's from Adam in Malvern. Ange, South Melbourne legend, he's one of our own. Costa from Mulgrave. Where will the appointment of Ange rate in Aussie sports history? Rare and first ever achievement. This is from Lee. Not as big as the America's Cup, but Scott's Masters, perhaps. Or imagine if he has success there and they lift a trophy. James, heading over to England for the Ashes. A stadium tour at Tottenham is now on the list. And Targ is in Bendigo. Have no idea about soccer. Could never find a team to follow. But now I have a reason. Could you tell me where the EPL is up to? I don't know if it's even on at the moment. Go Spurs, I'm all in. So the crash course on Spurs, the crash course on the EPL. The new season will start on the 12th of August. So tomorrow, London time, is the anticipation. So Tuesday morning in London. And then Ange, from what Jack was just telling us there, probably late June, his first press conference as Spurs coach.